Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
This morning I want to talk a little bit about church. And our main scripture is going to be out of the book of Colossians. And it's going to be a little bit of a story about a guy named, I won't be able to remember. One moment, please. Yeah. Epaphras. Epaphras. Antichicus. I mean, we read about these guys all the time, right? I mean, they're some of our main characters in the Bible. And I had to learn how to, I had to look up how to pronounce their names because I didn't try that sometime. They just, but Epaphras was a pastor at Colossae. And he studied under, he was tutored by, he was instructed by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison at Ephesus. The Apostle Paul, we're going to see, never made it, as far as we can tell, to Colossae, but he sent this letter to them to encourage them. And how do you know? These men went through a lot for you and me. The Apostle Paul, all these guys set the stage for us. We have the Word of God. The Apostle Paul finished the writing of Scripture. We have the information that we need to grow in the things of God, to be strong in Him, to grow in Him because of what these guys did. So I just want to paint a little bit of a history illustration about this place to give you an idea that, you know, it's just like, it just didn't happen. There was a process, just like here, there was a process at any church that things had to happen. People had to be taught. These were wild times back there. I mean, Corinth was like the Las Vegas on steroids. It was out of control. And so men like Titus, Paul, they went in there to tame the situation, to bring the Word of God. And basically, if you read the book of Titus, the three-point setting of that book is sit down, shut up, and listen. I mean, those are tough words, but that's what they had to do to get control of the situation because it was out of control. So we read it now, you know, it's a different perspective for us. We have different situations. We don't have to deal with a lot of things that they did. But the message is titled Faith, Hope, and Love. Faith, Hope, and Love. And I love that prophetic word this morning about hope. Hope is high expectation of coming good. How many hope in heaven? Come on, let me see them hands. How many hope in heaven? Yeah, that's our hope. That's what we are longing for. We are longing for that departure of the church that's going to take place at the rapture, and we're going to meet those thousands upon thousands of saints in the clouds. It's going to look like a cloud itself because there's going to be so many people. Our hope is in that. We know where we're going when we die. The world doesn't. They don't have that hope. We do. And we have the scriptures to educate us in that way. Jesus Christ gave us a foundation to grow upon. And that foundation is of faith, hope, and love. Now, Epaphras was the pastor, as I said. He had to go and he had to combat and battle against false teachings that had spread through the church. And say we could call it New Age philosophies. You know, things that are creeping into the church that are outside of the Word of God. They were called Gnostic philosophies. Worship of angels as intermediaries between God and man. There was a lot of things that they had to go up against to teach them what was right, what was wrong. And that's when you come to church, you are taught the things of God. You are taught how to be a Christian. You are taught how to listen to and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's what we do here, man. This is school. You know, we get to heaven, we graduate. You know? So we're going to learn today about some of the things these guys went through. And I'm just going to paint a little image here for you. The town of Colossae was located on a ridge overlooking the Lycus River in central Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey. And at the time of Paul's writing, its neighboring cities, Laodicea and Hierapolis, were becoming a more important city than Colossae, which was in a period of decline. Travelers were using a new road that went through the older two cities, but passed by Colossae. Churches were established in all three of these cities by Epaphras and Timothy, a native of Colossae, that he was hoping to visit him when he got there. Paul is believed to have written Colossians about AD 60. During his first imprisonment, I mean, the guy was writing these words for us while he was in prison, and he counted it all joy. I mean, how many of us would do that? Do you think that we would be in that state of mind if we were locked up in prison? I mean, I've spent time behind bars, and I know what it feels like. You know, I wasn't too full of hope, but I wasn't saved either. So I understand what it's like behind there when they close those doors and boom, you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But Paul didn't care. He knew what tomorrow was going to bring. He had a race to run, and he was going to fulfill that race no matter where he was. Amen? Now, get back to where I was at. Epaphras was a native of Colossae. He came to visit Paul in prison and gave him a report not only of the progress being made there, but also the problem with false teachers who had gained a foothold in the church. Paul sent back the letter with Onesimus, Philemon's slave, and Tychicus, who was another disciple of Paul. But for some unknown reason, Epaphras did not return at that time. This Gnostic philosophy that they were coming up against and having to deal with, Gnostic is a good word in and of itself. It simply means knowledge. But it's twisted. And how do you know? Everything God creates, Satan duplicates and perverts. So in order to deceive someone, there's got to be an amount of truth in it, or people aren't going to believe it. There's got to be a little bit of truth in there in order to draw people in, and they twist it all around. So Epaphras had to go back with the things that Paul instructed him on to teach to the people in Colossae, to help them understand the difference between what they were believing and what the Word of God says. And it also had to do, they were dealing with the worship of angels. Supposedly, one could achieve perfection by progressing through a number of initiations and levels of wisdom in spiritual mysteries. I mean, sound familiar? I mean, there's a lot of religions out there that you have to be elevated to reach a certain plateau in that religion to gain acceptance or even get to heaven. That's not a part of the church, but it was in the church and it needed to be dealt with. So Epaphras went back. He had his plate full. He had to confront all this. And can you imagine how much time it took for him to preach this word over and over and over for people to start getting it? I know me personally, man, I've had to hear things over and over. What's faith come by? Hearing and hearing and hearing. It's continual. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for the things that these guys have done. And for a church, faith, hope, and love is a sign of a healthy church. Amen? It is. People look at us, unbelievers look at us, outside, inside, wherever we might be, and what they think about God is pretty much determined about what they think about us. So, do we have love one for another? You said so this morning. I love you, man. I really love you, you know? That is attractive to the world out there because in the world, there is no hope. In the world, there is no love. I mean, there's a phileo love. There's a friendship kind of love that's out there. But it's not the kind of love. There's how many religions believe in a resurrected God, in a resurrected king? None. We're it. Jesus Christ is Lord of all for all mankind. Hallelujah. Now, in Colossians 2:18, I just want to, they were dealing with this teaching about angels that were incorrect. And in verse 8 of chapter 2 in Colossians. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers." So if you walk into a place, and another illustration here, Gnostic philosophy, is knowledge achieved by means other than the Word of God. If you walk into somewhere and they go, "Hey, well, here's a Bible, but here's another gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ," what do you say? "No, thank you. I'll take the Bible. I'll take the Word of God, which is absolute truth." The Bible says the entrance of God's Word is absolute truth. There's no variance. It's absolutely true. Whatever you read in here, you can take it to the bank. God says it. That settles it. This is true, and it'll change your life when you start applying it to your life. In Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace and peace unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ." When do we usually pray for people? We've been talking about prayer the last couple of Wednesdays. What is prayer? You know, just asking the question, what is prayer? And we know prayer just simply means to talk, to communicate. But do you see what Paul is doing here? As soon as he heard that they were stepping out by faith, that they were beginning to grow, that they were beginning to lay hands on us, whatever they were doing, he saw their faith growing. So he started praying. We usually pray when something's going wrong, don't we? Oh, God, you know, we got another example here of how to pray. When you see something beginning to move in the things of God, pray for them. Ask God to give them strength to keep going on. We need that. We need each other. Iron sharpens iron. So when you see someone prospering, you know, a lot of people, they get, if they're not doing too good, and the person next to them is just flourishing and God's doing things in their life, sometimes it's hard for them to pray for them because they're not, why isn't God doing it for me? Let me tell you something. The law of seed time and harvest is alive in your life.
Amen.
The spiritual law of seed time and harvest is real. You pray for that person and you watch what God will do for you. You need healing? Believe God. Go pray for somebody. There's a hundredfold return for everything you do in life. There's a hundred. What you think is a seed planted. What you say is a seed planted. Now, depending on what you hear and see and think, is going to determine the kind of crop that's going to come up in your life. So I encourage you to take the Word of God and use that as your seed that you are planting. When you think about things, Philippians says, think upon things that are pure, of a good report, things that are holy, things that are just. When you start getting thoughts of doubt, unbelief, or maybe anger towards a situation, stop it and start thinking on these things. God made us this way. Your body will respond to what you say. It will. If you're not feeling good, you're walking around going, "Man, I don't feel good. Nobody likes me. Blah, blah, blah." Well, that same person can stand up straight and go, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to have a good day today. I don't care what anybody says about me. I'm going to have a good..." Your body responds to your words. It's really that simple. We don't think it is when we're in that frame of mind, but I encourage you, do this. Talk to yourself. Cast down every imagination that exalts itself above God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Put the Word up there. Talk it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Pray it. Speak it. Why not? You know, science tells us it takes more nerves to frown than it does to smile. You know, go figure. Man, smile, it's a lot easier. You wouldn't think so. I mean, there's gravity involved. You know, you would think it would be the other way around. But it's not. Praise God. Now, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. The message today is faith, hope, and love. Since we heard your faith and of the love which you have for the saints and the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Where's the gospel being heard? The whole world. Titus. I think I gave this to you guys. Titus 2:11. The whole world. Did I give it to you? There we go. The grace of God has appeared to all men. You know, and I encourage you all, we love people, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. All. You know, we have a burden for, now trust, if God has placed a burden on your heart to pray for someone specifically and don't stop until breakthrough, you do that. But if you're praying for people and you're just not seeing the results and they're not seemingly getting any better, and don't burden yourself down with it. You planted those seeds. God will water them. He doesn't have to use you. He'll send somebody else around. He'll water those seeds. God will get the increase. So what do they say? Some will, some won't. So what? Go on. It's true. You have to trust the Lord, plant those seeds. Man, you're just Johnny Appleseed out there in life. You're just throwing seeds. You're encouraging people. You're loving people. But like I said, if there's someone that God's put on your heart to not stop praying until you see a breakthrough, you do that. That's a prayer intercessory warrior. And we need a lot more of them. Right, Terry? Yeah, we do. So some will, some won't, so what? Go on. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your might, all your strength. Have fun. Make life out there fun and entertaining when you're out there doing the work of the ministry. Smile. You know, you go into a hospital, people are hurting, man. They're in pain. There's tragedy. Smile. Man, brighten up the atmosphere where you're at. Give words of encouragement. You can make a difference. Amen. As a child of God in that place. Hallelujah. Epaphras. How many heard of that name before today? Epaphras. We heard of Tychicus, I think, more now. Ask yourself these questions. Is your faith in Christ alone? Is it?
Yes.
Is it in your spouse? Is it in your job? Is it in your parents? Is it in your employer? If your faith is in Christ alone, all those other things will work out. They will. You know, sometimes we have a tendency of putting more of a burden on other people than we should. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your might, all your strength. Have fun. If you put Christ first, he'll take care of your wife. He'll take care of your husband. He'll take care of your kids. He promised that he sanctified your kids when you got saved. He set them apart. He's working on them. He's doing what he promised he would do, even if it doesn't look like it. He is. That's called faith. Faith is the substance of things for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Okay? You let your faith go. You let your prayers go. Believe God that what you are believing for will come to pass regardless of what it looks like. Do you have love one for another? Well, I just saw this morning, you do. Huh? You do. Do you have love? The world out there is watching. It's watching. And when it sees you loving one another, helping one another in tough times, encouraging one another, supporting one another. They're going to want to be a part of it because the world out there doesn't have that love that we do. Amen. Hope. Is your hope in heaven? Is your hope in heaven? I mean, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Our hope is in heaven. Jesus is coming soon, guys. When is that? I don't know. But he's coming soon. He said he is. Boom. So be ready. At any given moment, our dad is going to appear. I asked my grandkids one time. I go, if Grandpa went with you everywhere you go, would you do the same thing? He's here, man. He's in you. He's in me. He hears all. He's like the Wizard of Oz, man. You know, he's in his little box going, I see you. I know you're here. He knows all. I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to say, my eyes are on you, man. I'm keeping my eye on you. God is. He is the good shepherd. He is going to lead you by that small, still voice. He's going to walk in and go, it's time to go. It's time to go. Just like shepherds over in Israel, they come in and all these sheep are intermingled at the gate of Jerusalem in the old days. They would meet, leave their animals there, go home, come back the next morning. And each shepherd had a little noise that it made, clicking, a whistle, whatever it might be. And only the sheep that knew him would raise their head out of grazing and intermingle out from the herd. God's always speaking. You know, it's like fasting. Fasting doesn't move God. Fasting puts you in a position to hear from God who's always moving. He's always talking. He's always saying, come on, man, let's do this. Let's do that. But, man, we get so busy. We hear these outside influences, and I want to get into that in a minute, but Paul taught Epaphras the importance of teaching and instructing the people of his church, even on Christian behavior. So turn with me to Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husband. All the husbands going, hey, good word, brother. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, it's so true. And submit to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Agape your wives. You know, it doesn't tell us in Scripture to agape the wives to agape their husband. It doesn't say that. It says submit. I guarantee you, if you love your wife like Christ loved the church, your wife is going to want to submit to you without question, okay? So understand that men, we have a responsibility. Women, you have a responsibility. Maybe I'll change my name to Epaphras, an instructor in Christian behavior. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Fathers, you know, this is an important thing for us to understand. Don't correct your kids in anger. You know, correct them in love. Encourage them. It's hard to do when the moment is tense. Good thing to do, walk away, let it cool down. We have a responsibility to do that for our kids, to love them in the things of God. And correct them. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. Yeah, I'll be over to help you out. Sure. Mm-hmm. You can count on me. I mean, that's what it's talking about. This deception. Don't do that. Let your yes be yes, yet your no, let your no be no. Keep your word. If you tell someone you're going to be there at 7 o'clock, be there. This is instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your word. Be honest. And a lot of people don't think of honesty and doing those little things tied together, but it is. You're painting an image in the eyes of other people who God is in you. They'll see that conviction. They'll see that desire, that longing to be a blessing. And they're going to want to be a part of that. Amen? And not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not to men. Do all you're going to do, man. Don't do things with eye service. Don't do things to try to gain acceptance with someone, to get a promotion. The Bible says promotion comes from the north. North is always referred to as heaven. God will instruct you. He will lead you. He will guide you into things that you have to do to get to that place or in front of that person to receive that promotion, to receive whatever it is he has for you. Each of us, I think Pastor Henry and I were talking about this morning, each of us are wired specifically. I mean, there's people I can reach you can't, and there's people you can reach that I can't. My personality type and their first, it may not click. I don't know. But we each have the ability to do the things that God's asked us to do. Whatever he calls for, he provides for, right? Wherever God places you in front of, know that you're empowered to do whatever he's asking you to do. Amen? Knowing that the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And find out where I went. Oh, I'm going to continue on, sorry. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, for there's no respect of persons. Masters, these are instructions on Christian attitudes, behaviors. Masters, bosses, give unto your servants that which is just and equal. This is the same thing as a wife submitting to a husband. You know, when a boss treats you well, what do you want to do? Work harder. Man, I'm telling you, it just works. It's that simple. Treat people with kindness and love and watch what comes out of it. Knowing that you have a master in heaven, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open the door unto us of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Praise God. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Pray before you go out. Ask God to give you words to say. You stand up in front of people. Ask God to reveal, bring to your remembrance everything that you've learned to bring out to the people that you're ministering to. You know, I've had the opportunity to go into a lot of different correctional facilities, minister to guys, gals that are locked up. And I'll tell you what, when you walk in with an attitude of humility, integrity, and honesty, they're not used to that. When you're willing to lay your life down and spend time with them and encourage them, they get something out of that. And I know I've told this once before, but it's worth telling again. One of the biggest, honoriest guys where I was at walked up to me, and we were in the old part of the jail, and it was solid steel everywhere, tables, chairs, no cameras. You had to sign a piece of paper. If you go in, you die, not our fault. All they had was an intercom system where they would tell people, we're coming in, and so forth. Well, this guy would come, first day, he sat down next to me. Actually, I slammed my Bible down to get everybody's attention on this steel thing. I said, guys, sit down. God's in the business of setting men free. Sat down, and he walked up and sat down next to me, and he goes, preacher boy, he goes, you got a problem with me being here? I said, the only reason I'm here is to get out of my cell. I said, I don't have a problem with that. I go, matter of fact, I hope you learn something. Have a seat. 9 months later, this young man gave his heart and life to God.
Yeah.
9 months later, he, without me knowing, I taught him on communion one Sunday. And next Sunday, I came back. They smuggled some stuff, I don't know how, from the kitchen up to their bunks. had some old dried bread and some root beer in little cups. And we sat down, and I said, guys, I want to talk to you. He goes, wait a minute. He goes, preacher, he goes, we got something for you. So everybody got up, including this guy, and they went back to their bunk, pulled it up, down cubby holes, anywhere they could hide it, and brought it out and sat it down. So we want to have communion. And man, my heart just poured out to these guys. And that day, understand, in jails, they don't let you out at 1 in the afternoon. They let you out at 2 in the morning, as a general rule. At the end of that service, or prior to, the sergeant came over the intercom and said, White, roll him up. You're out of here. The place went nuts. That guy's last name was White. He went and rolled his bunk up, his stuff, and he goes, I'm out of here, man. He wasn't supposed to get out of there. He was supposed to go from county jail to prison. He was there. It was a waiting period for some reason. And I said, hey, and the place erupted. Well, I tell you, for the next several months, I had a full house because God's in the business of setting men free. You know, that wasn't my message, but it was setting you free spiritually. But God did this, and it painted a picture to these guys of what God can do. I met him outside. He had nowhere to go. He had no way to get home. He was one of the largest pot growers back home. And I said, I'll take you home. His house, nice house, right on the river. I baptized him up on the roof of this county jail in an old horse trough that was, I mean, so corroded with muck, and it was, yeah. They would, and the prison, the guys, they liked that because it, when the prisoners got in there, man, they had fun. They go, ooh, they're going to slide down on that stuff. So they thought it was funny. Well, in the back of his house, he asked me to baptize him again in the river and his wife. You know, God is an amazing God. And you and me, we are instructors of righteousness. God wants to work through us to impact the lives of other people around us. Amen? So I encourage you, never think that something isn't happening, or never think that, oh, God can't use me in this. Don't do that. You never know who you're going to meet at the store after church. You don't know, but God knows. God knows that person. He knows you. And if he brings you together, he's got something he wants to do. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, if you would, turn to Exodus 35. Exodus 35. Look at your neighbor and say, I love you.
I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that I had this written in my other Bible, but let me see. Exodus 35. Now, God is looking for a willing heart. All he wants you to be willing to be used by him, whatever it is. And we're going to find out in just a few verses, you are who you are because God made you that way. You know, I can say this now because I play the guitar. And I'm going to tell you, all musicians are weird. They are. Yeah, see? And that's okay. I can say that now because I'm a musician. I don't know why I brought that up. Maybe just for David. But willing. People that have a willing heart can be used mightily by God. Not by restraint. Don't do things because, oh man, no one else is doing it. So I guess God wants a willing heart that he may bless. He's given you these giftings to utilize for him. Whether it's a musician, we're going to see in here, honey, the embroiderer. There's an embroiderer. My wife's a seamstress. She loves sewing. There's an embroiderer gifted by God to do the work in preparation for the tabernacle. Praise God. So no matter what you do, God gave you that gift. Do it with all your heart. 35:5. Take you from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and brass. 35:21. And they came, everyone who's, now this is in preparation, like I said, to the building and the putting up of the tabernacle, and the people are just coming willingly to do these things. And they came, everyone whose heart was stirred, that stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. 35:29. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering, a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And verse 34, and hath put in his heart that he may teach. How many feel the call to teach? How many love to teach? I mean, school, gymnastics, martial art. I don't care who loves to teach. Raise your hands. God has given you that ability. He placed it in you to do. So do it with all your heart, man. Teach, encourage, edify. It's a gift that was given to you to be used by God, that he may teach both he and Aholiab. I had to look that one up too. And Elisamach. Them has he filled with wisdom of heart to do work of all manner of work, of the engraver, of the cunning workman, of the embroiderer, in blue and purple, scarlet and fine linen, of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and those that devise cunning work. You know, the Bible says God gives us witty inventions. He gives us those things, but you don't see the manifestation of those till you go out after it. My wife had an idea back in the 70s about sewing a garment for people that are in nursing homes and so forth, assisted livings, just made out of, you know, pretty material, and on the back, you know, Velcro. You just cover people up that can't get up, dress themselves, just so they look decent when their friends and families come. We weren't Christians. I didn't think anyways. Found out later, you know, my wife gave her life to the Lord when she was 8 years old. Christ was in her throughout our whole marriage. Even when I was falling apart and doing stupid things, I mean, I had this beautiful, gorgeous, loving mom that just was incredible. How does she like me? How did she see something in me? 16 years old, how did she see something in me? How do you see something in him? Huh? Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man, but it's the Spirit of God. It's the Lord. It's that connection that God made for his purpose. Amen? Amen. So have a willing heart. Never give up on the pursuit. Never give up on your journey that God's called you to. Remember the philosophies that Ephorus was instructed by Paul to stand against. There was a lot of things that were filtering into the church that weren't supposed to. We need to be cautious of that. When we come in through those doors, we are robed, we are clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Him alone we serve. We don't bring anything else in this house that's contrary to Scripture. Amen? You agree with me on that? So let's go to 2 Chronicles 33:6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards, he brought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke them to anger. These are things as Christians, and we need to be teaching one another. We're all at a different place in our walk with God. Amen? We are. And we're called to teach, to edify, to build up. There's young believers that don't know these things yet. When Epaphras went back home, they didn't know these things. They had to be taught that dealing with familiar spirits, enchantments, witchcraft, it's wrong. So we have an obligation to teach as parents, as Christians. Those around us that might be going down a wrong road, plant some seeds into their life. Direct them to the Word of God. Let them see what God's Word has to say about any given situation. I'm bringing this up because this is something Epaphras had to deal with. Familiar spirits, witchcraft. How many knows what a familiar spirit is pertaining to the Bible? A familiar spirit is a spirit that's familiar with you. I mean, what they are beyond that, I don't know. But it's important to understand that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Amen. You're in contact with the spirit world all day long. It's not abnormal to hear voices. You know, understand what I'm saying here. You're a spirit being. When I ministered to these guys in prison, one of the first things I told them after they gave their heart and life to God, it's your responsibility. I took them to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 5. I said, look, this is your responsibility. I know you got a lot of these voices coming against you. I mean, you get locked up. Yeah, we're coming after your wife. We're coming after your kids. We're coming after your belongings. And they're just freaking out. They're locked. They can't get out. They can't defend themselves. 2 Corinthians in 10, it tells us, you cast down every imagination that exalts itself above God. You do it. You bring into captivity every thought. I'm sorry if I didn't give you that. I'm kind of going on a little sidetrack here. You bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't ask God to do it. You do it. You do it. I mean, there's a lot of folks that they hear things and it stresses them out and they think they're nuts. You're a spirit. You're in contact with the spirit world all the time. So when you understand that that's not abnormal, what's harder to do is to hear that small, still voice because these outside influences are so loud. We just don't always pick up on that small, still voice, that prompting, you know, stop, love that person, do this for that person. Sometimes we don't hear that as clearly as we ought. That's why Pastor Henry is constantly encouraging us and inspiring us to spend time in your prayer closet every morning. Spend that time with God. Prepare your heart so that when you get out there in your day, you're ready. You're ready for the onslaught of things that come against you. And, you know, when I was 7, 8 years old, my father had allowed things into our home that were not right. He was seeking spiritual things. And I don't think he was aware of what he was doing. It's just like Paul in ignorance. He was killing Christians. He really thought it was the right thing to do. But when you start seeking for things, I mean, my dad would, it started by playing with a Ouija board. You know, it's a game. You know, see if we can get it to move. And I'm a little bitty kid, and I'm going, this is kind of weird, you know. Oh, you know, just focus, man. Listen, you know, we'll find out if anybody out there is talking to us. Something that simple. Then he started having seances. And he started, and I'm 7, 8 years old, and I'm going, this is really weird. So I started playing into it. I go, hey, wait a minute. I walked in, I saw him there. I go, hey, I think I see Grandma. He goes, oh, wait a minute. He ran and got his tape recorder, came back out. He goes, what's she saying? You know, I'm playing it. But it wasn't real to me. But he allowed that into our home. What started happening to me was, as a little kid, I'm at school, and I started hearing this voice. So-and-so is going to fall off the monkey bars. Bam. I went, oh, wow. Premonition. Woo. Yeah, I mean, as a little kid, you're thinking, wow, this is I knew that before it happened. Then it just started happening all the time. And it, you know, it wasn't anything ever good. So-and-so's going to get hurt. That's going to happen. And finally, I started freaking out. It's scaring me. And I didn't know how to cope with it. I didn't know what to do. And one day, what does that say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5? You cast down every imagination that exalts itself above God. You bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I was not a believer. I hadn't accepted Jesus as my Lord. I understood there was a God. I grew up in Catholicism, but that's all I knew. I knew right from wrong. I had a solid foundation. That's one thing that I got out of that. I knew right from wrong. I knew how to say yes, sir, and no, sir. How many kids do you see today doing that? Polite, opening the door for a lady. You know, I don't open the door for a lady because she's a lady. I open the door for a lady because I'm a gentleman. Amen. I mean, simple belief, simple outlook. So I got a solid foundation from growing up as a young kid in a Catholic home. But one day, I saw, and what I was told, it scared me. And I just had it, man. I just screamed at the, I was out on the playground. And I went, no! It didn't happen. I'm 7, 8 years old. I go, and for years after that, those things would still come. But I found out that if I said no, it didn't happen. Somehow, some way, and I can't explain it to you, that stopped the things that were going on. And these familiar spirits, like I said, they're familiar with you. And what Epaphras had to deal with, you know, I think the King James calls it necromancy or seances, raising people from the dead. They're just spirits that have been here for a long time. They're familiar with you, your grandma, your uncle, your aunt. So when they have a seance, it appears like something spiritual, like prophetic. It's a spirit that knows. And he can sound like your dad. He can make you believe your dad's been raised from the dead because his voice is coming out of that person. No, it's just a familiar spirit that's been sent to deceive us. Amen? This is what these guys were dealing with. We're still dealing with these things. We got a call one day that there was a seance held at a house in Eugene, Oregon. So some members of our church, I mean, they knew that I liked being a part of things like this. So they called me up, some of the elders of the church, and said, hey, we're going to be at this house at such and such a time. We've heard there's going to be a seance, and we're going to stand across the street, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray and praise God. I said, great, I'm in. Got down there, and I'm not kidding you. I looked down the basement. It was like the 60s all over again, man. Light shows, blue lights. And all of a sudden, at the stroke of midnight, we're over there praying. We heard this scream. A loud scream. And then we heard, boom, 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 someone running through the house. And we're running up the stairs. Threw the door open and looked at us across the street and goes, you need to get out of here. We can't do this if you're there. Wow. And we went, whoo, hallelujah, God, thank you, Jesus. You know, we just stayed there and prayed. They shut it down. Familiar spirits. They're familiar with you. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. So understand, if you know of anybody that's dealing with this kind of stuff and they're paranoid, they're freaked out, they think, listen, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. You're in communication with the spirit world all day long. Learn to decipher between good and evil. Good. Learn to decipher between that small, still voice in you and those outside influences that are coming in. Amen? Amen. Galatians 5:16 basically says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't want to do those things. There's a lot of things that we do in ignorance. But I tell you, as you begin to walk in the Spirit, God will reveal to you. you know that those things will be wrong by the inward witness in you called the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Bearing witness with your spirit. Not allowing these things in your life will ensure that your foundation of what we're talking about today, of faith, love, and hope, will stay strong. It will stay strong. You know, I want to end with this. There's a band out there called Third Day. Anybody know Third Day?
Yeah.
Well, there's a song, and I forgot, I just thought about this before I came up here. I forgot to write down which one it was. But there's a lyric in there, or a line. I'm not real musically inclined yet, but it says, I want to know you more than life itself. I want to hold you even though you can't be held. David, can you come up here? Come here. Can you come up here for a minute? I want to know you more than life itself. I want to hold you even though you can't be held. Yes, he can. God's in there, man. This guy is a hugging fool, man.
Right.
Give me a hug, buddy. These guys, big hug. Thank you. It's just, God is in them. God is in me. I want to hold you even more. When you begin to, this is seed time and harvest stuff. When you begin to start loving on people, hugging, I mean, it's infectious. These two brothers come around here and it's infectious. You can't help it. Hug and talk and laugh and have a good time. You start doing that, and you're going to be planting seeds in your own life in a powerful way. You're going to be planting seeds in other people around you in a powerful way. Like I said, it takes more strength to frown than it does to smile. So I encourage you, smile. Make a conscious effort. Let people know that Jesus is Lord. Tell someone about Jesus. Encourage somebody in the things of God today, every day. You know, I think it was D.L. Moody. He would tell somebody about Jesus every single day. That was something he determined to do. And one day, about almost midnight, he was in Chicago, and he goes, oh, man, I didn't tell anybody about Jesus today. I mean, you talk about a man on conviction. He ran out on the streets at midnight. I mean, and I can relate to that because that's what I used to do when I went out and talked with people on the streets. I would talk to prostitutes. I would talk to drug dealers. Anybody. I'd go into bars and share I got kicked out of more bars after I got saved, I think, than I did before, I guess. But he got down there and he found somebody. Finally, he goes, are you ready for heaven? He goes, what's your problem? He goes, you know, I don't want to. Nah, I probably forgot my own line here. Oh, Lord, help me remember. That was a good one. Are you ready for heaven? No. He goes, oh, I know. Hey, man, that's none of your business. He goes, sir, it is my business. I'm a preacher. Are you ready for heaven? Wow. I've taken that line, I can't tell you how many times, and started a conversation. Are you ready for heaven? I stopped a guy we were at a stoplight, and it was red. And I just looked at someone and I go, hey, are you ready for heaven? He goes, I'm an atheist. And I go, that's okay. God knows you're an atheist. And I turned around and walked off. He was so stumped. We got all the other side of the road, and he's still standing there, just froze in time. He didn't know how to combat that. I planted a seed. And what do you want to bet? That guy's born again.
Come on.
Something that simple. You ready for heaven?
I am.
Man, I wish that I was that motivated to make sure that every day I ask somebody that question. That's what we're here for. God is, ever since 9/11, 9/1/1, God has been using that to speak to me about a lot of things. And one day I said, God, I go, every time, I usually I wear a watch just because if I don't, I feel like I'm out of bounds. But I hardly ever look at a clock. But for years, every time I looked at a clock, it was 9/11. 9/11. 9/11. I go, what are you trying to tell me in this? Help me understand. I mean, I looked up every scripture there was. 9/11. And I found one that God spoke to me about. But he told me one day, he goes, Pat, it's an emergency for me that you get out there, that the church gets out there and lets them know I'm coming. Because I'm coming soon, and I don't want them going to hell. And when he spoke that to me, I went, thank you. I mean, finally. That's what you meant? But that's only a piece of it. I mean, every day he's showing me different things about that. He's showing me scripture, Amos 9:11, the tabernacle of David. The restoration of the tabernacle of David is happening right now. Read that sometime and ask God to speak to you about that. The coming together of the saints, man, drawing and getting close to the Lord in a way that just hasn't seemed to have happened in a long time. You know, we love you. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
God is good all the time. God is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You could connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.